Many women have the practice that when they bench lift, and they're the yontif, or they'll yontif, whenever they bench lift, so they say Shechyanu at the time of Hadlokas HaNeiros. So on a regular yontif, when you're going to make kiddush over a cup of wine, so Rabbi Akiveger refers you to the tshuva of Rabbi Yankif Emden, that it's not really proper, that strictly speaking, everybody can say Shechyanu even when you're walking in the street. That's the Loshon HaGemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the Beis Shechyanu. I'm Rafila Bashuk, even when you're walking in the street. However, the Gemara says if you recite the Shechyanu over a cup of wine, then you enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha. It's elevated to the level of a Bracha Lakos. So they say it's not really right that the women say Shechyanu when they bench licht. Why should they cheat themselves? They should wait till the husband says Shechyanu over the Kiddush, and they'll enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha. And Yom Kippur, nobody says Shechyanu over a cup of wine. So the women may as well say when they bench licht. However, there's a hitch over here. The Gemara says, Beferish there, in Erev and Daf Mem on the base, the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is there an obligation to recite Shechyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? A Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, it's an obligation. You're mechuyev to say Shechyanu over the Simchas Yontif. When you have a Pri Chodosh, the Shechyanu is only a Rishus. It's not an obligation. So the Gemara had a shayla. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? They always did say Shechyanu, but the shayla was, is it a chiyuv like on Shalosh Hagolim? Or do you say no? Maybe there's no chiyuv simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Maybe there's a less of a chiyuv simcha. And one comes to the conclusion, yes, that there is a chiyuv to say Shechyanu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So then the Gemara says, can you enhance the chashivas of the brachah of Shechyanu by saying it ala kos? So the Gemara says, what are you going to say, Shechyanu ala kos? If nobody drinks the wine, so it's not considered a bracha lakos, when you say kiddush, havdalah, shachyanu, whatever you're going to say under the chuppah, you say b'chaseris, and shavu bracha, whatever you want to say bracha lakos, some Jewish person has to drink the wine. It doesn't have to be an adult, it can be a child also. But if no one's going to drink the wine, so you haven't enhanced the significance of the bracha. It's not called a bracha lakos. So the Gemara says, why not say shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur? And then you'll be able to drink the wine. So Shechyanu while causing Mar says no. Shechyanu has to be recited on Yontif. Once you say Shechyanu, that means you're mekabel to self as Yontif. You can say Shechyanu and not be mekabel Yontif. So once you say Shechyanu, it's already Yom Kippur, and you're not allowed to drink the wine. Then the Gemara says, why not get a little child, get a Jewish child who's not going to fast anyway, get a young child who's not going to fast, and have him sip the cup of wine. That's not a problem. So the Gemara says it's a bad chinuch, because the child is going to remember the rabbi gave me the drink of wine on Leil Yom Kippur, and he's going to grow up, and after his bar mitzvah, he'll still continue to drink the Shechyanu wine on Leil Yom Kippur. So that's what the Gemara says. So that's the Gemara. It's based on that Gemara that the Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos is a sefer that was written in the days of the Gaonim. The Bali Atos is always quote the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos a lot of times has funny dinim that we don't understand, but out of respect, because he lived in the days of the Gaonim and he must have had traditions from the days of the Gemara, so we don't like to reject what he said so easily. So Halachas Gedolos came up with the Chiddush that not only when the Gemara says when you say Shechyanu is it Kabbalas Tosefes Yom Kippur Bal Karchai, it has to be Yom Kippur when you say when you light Ner Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, it's also Tosefes Shabbos Bal Karchai. The Bahag is of the opinion when the Balabas, the bench is licht, the whole family has to begin observing Shabbos. So that we're not machmer for at all. That all the members of the family, in the days of the Rishonim, they used to be machmer. Rung and Avram quotes, in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, they used to daven mincha. Once you're mekabel to serve the Shabbos, you can't daven tefillas chol. So you can't daven mincha. So in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the husbands with the boys used to go to shul on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, they used to daven mincha. Then they would send the children home to tell the mother she should bench licht now, because she's going to bench licht before the daven mincha. No one can daven mincha, because it's Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha for all the members of the family, and you're not allowed to daven Tfilas Chol on Shabbos. So after they would daven mincha, then they would send home the children that the mother should bench licht. We don't follow that practice today. Our practice is it for the other members of the family. We assume there's no, when you bench licht, that's not a Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha, but for the woman who lights the neiris, so l'chatchila v'choshish for the Shitas Bahag. So the woman should should assume that Shabbos begins for her as soon as she benches licht. Unless she makes it tonight beferish, but only if you have a big shas atchak, then the woman can make it tonight. But if she lit the neiris, a lot of women bench licht and erev Yom Kippur, they say shechiyona, then they make it tonight and they drive to shul if they live far away. Once they say shechiyona, you can't make it tonight, or the bracha is going to be bracha levatol. Shechiyona can only be recited on Yom Kippur. That's for sure. That's a beferish gemara. The Bahag extrapolated from the gemara that hu adinami, the same thing applies when the balabasta benches licht. So that we don't accept. You can bench licht on Erev Shabbos. Why should you say that hadlokas on Neris is tosef Shabbos bal korcha? So for the balabasta herself, we machmel lachatchila whenever possible. So shas hadchak, so when mekel, she can have in mind not to be mekabel Shabbos.
Is it lachas gabel shita that the lining is the kabbalah bal korcha, or the bracha is the kabbalah bal korcha?
He says the lighting is the kabbalah bal korcha. Then there are more quotes of minig that normally kol mitzvahs kulam mevarach aleim oivel asiyosim. Normally, whether it's a mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah derabanan, you're always supposed to recite the bracha before you do the mitzvah, immediately before, when the tefillin are on your arm already and you're about to tighten it. Oivel asiyosim means immediately before, when you're holding the talis behind your head, you're about to put it over your head. Mamish oivel asiyosim, immediately before. So the same din should apply b'negei to hadlokas haneiros. The balabasta should recite the bracha immediately before she's about to be madlik l'neiros. So the Ramah has a minig that developed by the Ashkenazim. The Chabad says he say the bracha before hadlokas haneiros. So the Ramah has a minig from Poland. The Ramah lived in Poland. So he says the minig is that not only the hadlokah makes a kabbalah to establish Shabbos bal korcha, when she says the bracha, it's also a kabbalah to establish Shabbos bal korcha. So she'll say the bracha lahadik ner shel Shabbos vet the Shabbos, and she can't light the candles. So the Ramah came up with the chiddush: she has to light the candles first and then say the bracha afterwards. That's a difficult chumrah. Chacham Avad Yosef writes in one of his many tshuvas. That Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had passed away, so he couldn't consult him. But his son, he had a son, Rabbi Yehuda Meltzer, I think, he was involved in Shivat Hadarom that the RCA had in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer's son once mentioned to him that when they moved from Europe to where did he live? In Slutsk. Rabbi Zalman had Yeshiva in Slutsk. That's where Rabbi Kotler learned by him. Rabbi Kotler married his daughter. So when he left Slutsk and he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so he told his wife, now we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived there, so he has the status of Mara da Astra. So now that we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say the bracha before Hadlokas HaNeiros. It was very strange. What do you mean? When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he was going to follow all the things from the Mechaber. He didn't follow all the things. He followed the Ramah all the time. Didn't follow. This din he never liked. It means this Ramah he never liked. This is a Peledik Ramah. This Ramah he never liked. And the same is regarding the Tilis Yadayim also. The Ramah quotes, the meaning of the Balei HaTosis was, the din requires you say the bracha over Asiyasim before you pour the water on your hands. But because sometimes our hands are dirty, we just tied our shoes, or we woke up in the morning, or we went to the bathroom, or something like that. So sometimes your hands are dirty and you can't say bracha. So the minig developed, the Balei HaTosis justified the minig that they would wash the Tilis Yadayim for bread, and after washing, then they would say the bracha. Aye, but it has to be over Asiyasim. So Tosis Paremphas, their practice, it's a little bit Oivel Asiyasim, because you have to dry your hands. The Gemara says in Soita, in the first paragraph in Soita, Oichel Beli Niguv, if you eat the bread without drying your hands, Kilo Oichel Lechem Tamei. It's a disgusting thing. It's not proper to eat bread after having washed until the time before you dry your hands. So in a certain sense, the drying of the hands is still Oivel Asiyasim. I didn't finish the mitzvah yet, but it's a Shvacha justification. More correct is that you should say the bracha before you wash until it's said that. Ala tefillah, that's the Gemara says when a ger converts, so he has to go to the mikveh. So he cannot say the bracha shekedeshana b'mitzvah sabat zivana. He's not Jewish yet, so the ger cannot say the bracha before he's tovel in the mikveh. So the Gemara says tovel v'yola after the ger is tovel in the mikveh, then otnish kembrei he can't say evel asiyasim. Then he says, Lachar Asiyasim. So some Rishonim learn the Gemara that it only goes on a ger. It doesn't apply to any other person that's toivel in the mikveh. And other Rishonim say it goes on a balkeri also, palet the Sheikh Vazera. At the time that there was a takonas Ezra, that a balkeri wasn't allowed to daven, wasn't allowed to say any brachas, So any Baal Keri who was Toivah led a mikveh had to say the bracha lachar asiyos after he came out of the mikveh. And then some other Rishonim add on, no, when the person, Tosis adds on already, when the person undresses in order to go to the mikveh, so they had to take off their shoes and socks. So you can't say a bracha. So either they interpreted it in the Gemara, it goes on every person who's tummy who's going into the mikveh, or it's a meaning that developed later, that all of the people who go to the mikveh say the bracha lachar asiyos. That was a later development. That wasn't in the earlier years. So they say that Rabbi Zalman moved to Eretz Yisrael. He changed both of these. He told his wife that she should say the bracha lahadik neshal Shabbos before she benches licht, because Rabbi Yisrael Kara's more the asr in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't like this Ramah. And especially if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, for sure you shouldn't follow the Ramah. And the same by the Tilis Adan. He changed his practice and he said the bracha before. The Mishnah Brewer writes, he talks about saying the bracha on the Tilis Adan after washing your hands before you dry your hands. So he quotes the Rishonim. But if you know your hands are clean and you want to say the bracha, I will ask you also, it's about a good. It's not a kpeda, you have to dafke, say the bracha after you wash your hands. Tosfos justifies the minhag to say the bracha always after, so you don't have to remember whether your hands are clean or your hands are dirty. But if you know that your hands are clean, let's say you just washed off your hands now, and now you want to wash with a cup, and the tilis adayim, so you should say the bracha, I will ask you also. Why say lachar asiyos? And so that people should know that even though all year long, if you have a big shas hadchak, the women can bench licht, say the bracha, and make it tonight. They're not mekal b'shabbos, but you can't say shachyon. Once you said shachyon, that's a befevri shigmar in erev and daf mem that it becomes to sefer Shabbos bal korcha. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once said that where he came from in Europe, the practice was that every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif, the women would bench licht 30 minutes before Shkia. And on Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench licht 60 minutes before, an hour before the Shkia. Tosefi Yom Kippur, an hour before Shkia. So as a child, he asked Manashtana, how come on Erev Yom Kippur, it's twice as long as every Shabbos and every Yontif? So the official explanation that they gave was, it's 30 minutes Tosefis for Malocha on Yom Kippur, and 30 minutes Tosefis for the Chamish Inuyim, that you don't eat and you don't wear shoes and you don't bathe and so on. So he said he never understood what that means. What do you mean 30 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that? It's one Kedusha Sayyim that obligates you to abstain from Malocha and not to violate the Chamish Inuyim. So it should be the same 30 minutes, the Tosefis of 30 minutes for everything that has to do with Yom Kippur. Where did the 30 minutes come from? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they don't say 30 minutes. Shulchan Aruch says there's an inyan of Mosif Mechoil al HaKodesh, that you should be Mekabal Tosefes Yom Kippur and Shabbat Yontif a minute or two, a few minutes, some say 5 minutes, before the Shkia. The 30 minutes, that's the Rabbeinu Peretz. The Achrenu quote, in Beitzah, the Flamen Amar Aleph, the Gemara seems to imply that there's a fixed amount of time, there's a minimum amount of time that you're supposed to be most of Mechoil al HaKodesh. It's not just some amount of time before the Shkia. After the Shkia, we consider already a Bein HaShmashas. So that's already a Safik Yom, Safik Lailah. So of course, you have to abstain from Malacha and abstain from eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. But how long before the Shkia do you have to abstain? So Shulchan Aruch says a few minutes. But the Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitzah, Daflam and Aleph, goes with the Tosfos. There's some minimum amount of time. And he says 30 minutes. Why? Because in the Mishnayos, sometimes you have a din, samach l'mincha ktana, samach l'mincha gdoilo, samach l'zman mayrev, you're not allowed to eat, samach l'zman shachris, you're not allowed to eat in the morning. And samach, the Rashbam always says samach means a half an hour before. So samach l'shabbos, you should be mekabel, tosef l'shabbos, samach means 30 minutes. You have some Rishonim say, there's a din of prisha, married people, are not allowed to be with their wife, samach l'vesta. So the Ramban and the Ritva in Masechus Shavuos, right? Samach Levesta means, Minatar means a half an hour before the Vesas. If an Isha has her Vesas Kavua, she always has her period, let's say on the 25th day of the month at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So Samach Levesta Minatar is at 1:30. Half an hour before, she has to be Purish. With the Ramban, they said the whole Ona, the whole day, yeah. But Menatora, they say, Samach Levesta really means half an hour before.
But well, what do you get 30 minutes? Fine. Usually there's 18 minutes, 24 minutes. What is 30 minutes come from?
30 minutes is this Rabbeinu Peretz, that the Mishnah is talking about Samach L'mincha Gedarla, Samach L'mincha Ketana. Samach always means 30 minutes. Rabbeinu Peretz learns that the Gemara in Beitza Lamed Amud Aleph implies that there's some minimum amount of time. You have to be Moshe Mechol HaKodesh before Shabbos begins. So what's the minimum? So this is, they don't know what the Zman is. They say from the Gemara it appears that there is a minimum number of minutes. It doesn't say how long. So the Achronim quote the Rabbeinu Peretz. We have the Rabbeinu Peretz. They printed it now from the manuscript. The Rabbeinu Peretz thinks that it's a half an hour.
Yeah, but that's what I'm questioning about. Why does Samach mean a half hour? I mean, it's an unusual
Zman. Samach, that's what the Mishnah is assumed like that. And Arvi Pesachim, the first Mishnah. Samach L'mincha L'yachal Adam. Whenever there's a din of Samach, it's always 30 minutes. So Samach L'Shabbos, Yimakabal Tassad L'Shabbos. The practice in America that the women bench licht 18 minutes before the Shkia, that's based on the Sefer Yerayim. Reb Lezer Mintz, he has a very irregular opinion that nobody agrees with. He is of the opinion that what we call Shkia, sunset, is really Tzeis HaKochavim. That's Vaday Laila. And the Ben Hashmashis is the last 18 minutes before the Shkia. So nobody agrees with that. The sun is still shining, and that's called Ben Hashmashis. That's Vaday Yom. The Ben Hashmashis begins after the Shkia. But out of respect for the Reb Lezer Mimitz, and that's why the minig in America became, in Europe it wasn't such a popular minig. They don't record such a thing, 18 minutes, that's an American shtick. So some women think that you have to bench licht within the last 18 minutes. That's not what it means. You should have completed benching licht, you should complete doing all the malachas before the last 18 minutes, before the sunset, because we treat the last 18 minutes, when the sun is still shining, treat it as if that's the Ben Hashmashis. Yeah, I don't know. The minig of Mishlaim is 40 minutes. I don't know. That's the Rabbeinu Peretz plus. Well, I don't know what the 40 minutes is based on, but the 30 minutes we do know. That's where Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from, that was the minig. That the women would bench licht all year long, 30 minutes before the Shkia, except for Yom Kippur, they would bench licht 60 minutes before. And the men would also abstain from eating an hour before.
We don't usually give them. Somebody had a dash yachid. We'd say, oh, let's be kosher to dash yachid. We understand Brisk will do that, but others, I mean, they don't do that. So why don't prevent the parents?
I don't know. It's quite a whopper of Amidus Chasidus. To be choshesh for Shita Sayachid that nobody agrees to. Mamish Shita Yechidah. A lot of times it's saying halacha elu elu divrei kimchaim. So it's a midas chasidus to be choshesh for the Shita Sayachid. You have the mishnayos like that in Beitza. But Shita Sayachid means there was a Beishamay and Beisilo. So Beisilo would sometimes be choshesh for Beishamay Shita, and they were machma. Okay, there was all Beishamay, all yeshiva. But Reb Lezer Mimitz stands alone over here. Mamish Shita Yechidah. There isn't even, shouldn't even be Amidas Chassidus to be Choshish for that. It's in Gatsan Hashit Echidor. But that's the way it developed in America. They should have had 30 minutes. What's up, say 18 minutes? They should have had 30 minutes before. 18 minutes, neither here nor there. It's a Pella. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father introduced in Europe, his father had a Rabbanis, and he introduced in Boston and in New York in the Yeshiva, that after the Surah HaMafsekes, when you come to Shul, before Kol Nidre, everybody repeats Vidui again. So you say, Hashem Nevagadno, Achet Shechotam Lofanachot, the whole long Vidui. Many people say the Vidui that was composed by the Chayei Adam, that's called the Tefillah Zakah. But he said, what do you need the Chayei Adam? So you say the regular Vidui that's printed. Why do you repeat again the Vidui? So it's based on the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Shaloh. He says it's based on a Ramban. The Gemara says, and a lot of the modern shuls, when you come to shul, we're coming for Kol Nidre, and some of the people just came home from work and they came to shul to daven mincha. So that's not really right. You're supposed to daven mincha before the Surah HaMafsekes. And then the Gemara said that's number one. You're supposed to daven mincha before the Surah HaMafsekes. Then the Gemara says you should say vidui at the end of mincha. Why? Shema yeret drata kola besuda. You may choke, something may come up in the middle of the meal. It may be the last minute preparation. You have to take down the garbage, you have to wash the dishes, you have to take something to shul. You're going to just make it by the skin of your teeth. So really the Ramban interprets in the Gemara, the Ikar Din HaVidui is to recite the Vidui Erev Yom Kippur as you're about to enter into Yom Kippur. The Ramban says it's based on the Pasuk Lefnei Hashem Titoru. So he translates Titoru, you should purify your soul by reciting Vidui. and really mean it, not just to say the words, and to really mean the vidui, that you don't want to repeat the averis anymore. Lifnei Hashem means as one is about to accept Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur. As Yom Kippur is about to enter, you should recite vidui. So the Gemara says, but we're afraid he may run into shul, something may have happened in the Suda Mafzeka, somebody didn't feel well, or so they had to throw the garbage out or something, the guy's going to run to shul, just going to make it by the skin of his teeth, so he won't have a chance to say the vidui. So the Chachamim introduced, say the vidui by the Suda Mafzekas, which you're going to have, say the vidui by the Mincha before the Suda Mafzekas, so you'll be sure that you said the vidui before Yom Kippur entered. But the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, if you came to shul on time and there is still 10 minutes left, so repeat the vidui again and then be mekabel, harei mekabel like Dushas Hayom Shal Yom Kippur, right after reciting the vidui the second time. So it's mamish lefnei Hashem tetar. That's the ike vidui. That's what the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik introduced that in Europe in his Rabbanus, that they should repeat the vidui. That's what it says in the Magen Avraham, quoting the Shaloh. Based on this Ramban, he should repeat the vidui. This year, because Yom Kippur is Chalias B'Shabbos, so we change a little bit the Nusach HaTfilo. He said, "Vatitna Hashem Elokeinu B'Yavos Yom HaKippurim Hazeh Yom Chilus Avon." I say, "How do you fare?" Then you say, "B'Yavos Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim." I already forgot. You say again, "B'Yavos." And every Yontav, whenever Yontav is Chalias, you say "B'Yavos" a second time. So why do you say a second time? What's the idea behind saying every time you have Yontav? Cholias b'Shabbos, Atid Hashem Elokeinu b'Yavo, Yom Chag HaMatzah Zeh, Zman Chereseinu Mekekodesh, b'Yavo Zecher Etzila. It's in parentheses. Why do you say it Tzveit Amo? You already said Atid Hashem b'Yavo. So the standard Mefarshim, I think the Avodram has it, the standard Mefarshim and the Siddur say what it means is like this. The Baruch Shalom gave all the mitzvahs to the Bnei Yisrael b'Yavo. He loves us. He didn't give us the mitzvahs because he hates us. He gave Kol HaTorah Kulo because he loves everything Atid Hashem Elokeinu b'Yavo. But we know the Chazal have a comment that at the time of Maimon HaSinai was Kof Aleim HaRkigiga. So there was missing a little bit B'Yahavo. So all the mitzvahs that were given HaSinai were B'Yahavo, the Rav Hashem loves us, but in a certain sense there was an incomplete Abba because it was Kof Aleim HaRkigiga. It was forced down our throats. But Shabbos was given B'Mora before HaSinai. So there was no Kof Aleim HaRkigiga. So on Shabbos it's B'Yahavo square. It's twice B'Yavo. B'Yavo, the Rebbe Shalom loved us, that's why he gave us Kol HaTorah Kulo, but it wasn't even Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas. That's why you say a second time B'Yavo. That's the standard pshat that they have in their regular Oitzar HaTfilas. They quoted from the Rishon. And Rav Soloveitchik had a different interpretation. I don't know whether it was an original interpretation. We saw it in some Svarim. I never came across it anywhere else. He said that on every Yontif, the Rebbe Shalom loves us, but on every Yontif you have to bring Busafim, and there's always a Soyer Lachatos. On Yom Kippur there's more than one Soyer Lachatos. Rav Hashanah also, Shnei Sirim Lachatos. So the Soyer Lachatos, Rebbe Shalom, he loves us, but he's waving his finger. He said, you people need a Kapara. All of you did a lot of Avera, so you have to bring a Soyer Lachatos. On Shabbos, the Busafim, Shnei Kvos Menishon Etmimim. The Nochatos, it's two Oilos. So that's why in Shabbos is B'Ahava Square. There's no, the Baruch Hashem doesn't even remind us that we did Averis. He doesn't tell us that we have to bring any Chatos. The Chatos are only Musafim for the Yom Tov, but not for Shabbos. And that's why on Shabbos you say twice B'Yavo. That was Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, the Mechaber writes that the one who says Nila knows he has to have a deadline. He has to finish by 7:15 or whatever, 7:25, whatever they announced in Shul. So the one who's davening Nila has a clock, and he has to make sure he doesn't go too long. What about the one who davening Shachris? So the Mechaber says the Baal Shachris should be Mekatzer, or they should be Mekatzer. They shouldn't make unlimited Misha Berachs by the Kriyas HaTorah. Because they're going to say, if you're going to take the time on Shachris and make Mishaberach San Ashir, so then it's going to be so late, you're going to be starting to daven Musaf already after half an hour after Chatzos. And whenever it's already disman to daven Mincha, and I didn't daven Musaf yet, I didn't daven Mincha, I didn't daven Musaf. So which one do you daven first? So the Gemara says, if it's already half an hour after Chatzos, you can't daven mincha before the first half hour after Chatzos. So what time is Chatzos these days? 10 to 1.
Quarter to 1.
So what's a half an hour after Chatzos? Approximately 30 minutes. So let's say 1:15. So it's already 1:15, and it's a year's man mincha. So the Gemara has a din in the Gemara brachas. You're holding by his man. You can either daven mincha first and then daven musaf. A daven musaf first, then daven mincha, and it does make a difference to you. Let's say it's Rosh Chodesh. I daven shachris and shul, had to run to work, and I didn't say halal and I didn't say musaf yet. And then in the middle of the summer, and then I come home and I got plenty of time now, so I don't want to daven mincha now. Mincha, I'm going to daven and shul. Tefillah b'tziva. I didn't daven halal yet. I didn't daven musaf. So you daven halal and you daven musaf, and then you go to shul and you daven mincha with everybody else. So you don't say daven mincha first. I'm not holding my davening mincha. I want to daven musaf and halal. But on Yom Kippur, we're not going anywhere. The shul has a choice. Should we daven musaf first? Should we daven mincha first? It's already half an hour after Chatzos. So then the Gemara applies this rule. Todeh b'sheina todeh, todeh kodem. Mincha you daven every day of the year. Musaf is only on special occasions. So if it's already higiyah zman mincha, then you have to daven mincha first, and then you daven musaf second. Because Torah B'Sheinah, Torah, Torah Kodim. So the B'Sheinim have a machlekes, does that din only apply to a yochid? A guy's, it was Rosh Chodesh, and he davened shachris in the morning, and now it's the afternoon, and he has no minyan. He can either daven mincha first and musaf second, and daven musaf first and mincha second. It then doesn't make a difference. So then a yochid, you tell a person, daven mincha first and then daven musaf. You're going to have a shul with 500 people in the shul. You're going to tzedrei do'ilam. You're going to mix them all up. They're not going to know what's going on. Why are they davening mincha before musaf? Everybody knows you're supposed to daven musaf first. So many rishonim are of the opinion that this halacha that the Gemara came up with, that if it's higiyah zman mincha, you daven mincha first, then you daven musaf, only applies b'yochid, doesn't apply if you're davening b'tzibur. And others disagree. They say no, it even applies if you're davening b'tzibur. So the Shulchan Aruch says, recommends that the Baal Shachar should be Mekatzer and the Gaboim should be Mekatzer. They should be Mekatzer a little bit to make sure that you start Musaf before the half hour after Chatzos. I remember my father Shul, so they used to have the Chazan had a whole dramatic presentation of Hineni Hani Mimas. He used to walk from the door at the back of the Shul to the beam on the front, took him a half an hour, and there's a whole production. So once it was Yom Kippur, and my father said, you have to leave out Hineni Hani Mimas. You got to daven. We have 5 minutes till half an hour after Chatzos. You can't say Hineni. So they started right away. He said the Kaddish, and he said he started Tefillah B'Lachsha. Balabatim thought the world was coming to an end. It's like he left out the Kol Nidre, the most important part. He left out Hineni Hani Mimas. It's the least important part of the davening.
Isn't there, you know, that Musaf has Zman and Mincha has to
Yes, Sheva, sure, is that for sure? Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, I don't know, nonetheless, that's what it says in the Gemara. You have to daven mincha first. We don't finish, we start Musaf before the half hour after Chatzos. We don't finish Chazaras Hashatz, we don't finish before Sheva Shoes. But at least the Prima Gadim says, but we began. We began. Mikra din Musaf is kol hayom, but it's not proper to dilly dally. If you don't begin Musaf till after Sheva Shoes, the Gemara says Nikra Poshea. And a lot of shuls that do that on Simchas Torah, the hakofas take forever. You don't get to begin davening Musaf till after Sheva Shoes. Sheva Shoes is an hour after Chatzos. So Chatzos, he says, a quarter to one, so a quarter to two. So you have to at least start Musaf by a quarter to two. So on Yom Kippur, we have to start Musaf within the half, before the half hour is up after Chatzos, but then you don't have to finish Musaf. But Philip finishes Musaf 3 o'clock, whatever, he finishes in the afternoon. But you have to start, at least start davening Musaf within that zman.
Every sheep do that, they finish davening, they go home and come back to Hakadosh.
Yeah. They changed all the minhagim. That's not really right. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over Rav Chaim Moiser, was the major Pesach. He died in 1940, I think. Died in the middle of the Second World War. So at the same time, Rav Chaim Moiser was dying. They had a Besden in Vilna. There was another, Apenacheges, was a dying. Apenacheges was older than Rav Chaim Moshe, and he survived him. He delivered the husband when he died. So Apenacheges wrote a sefer that's called Marcheshes, Shalas Achubas, and he writes in the Hagdama a famous line that he doesn't go for this newfangled style of learning, that they analyze everything and they dissect everything to its component parts. He says he's from the old school, but he has a lot of yeshivish Torah there that everybody enjoys. So Rav Soloveitchik used to, when Rav Soloveitchik went to university in Berlin and his parents moved to America, so he used to go from time to time, he would take the train to go to Vilna to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Moshe. All the yeshiva like used to go to Vilna, but they all lived in Vilna. And the Chiddush was Rav Soloveitchik went from Berlin to go to Vilna to talk and learning. So sometimes he spoke and learning with a Apenacheges. Apenacheges has this tshuva in his sefer, and his sefer Marcheshes. And Rav Soloveitchik said this is one of the things that he discussed with him. The shaila is a religious man, an observant person. The doctor say he has to eat on Yom Kippur. Everything else he observes. He doesn't do malacha and he doesn't wear shoes. He observes all the dinim of Yom Kippur, and he's mukhiv to eat on Yom Kippur. So if they want to give him an aliyah shachris in the morning, that's fine. So if Kavega has a suffix, can you give him an aliyah by mincha on Yom Kippur in the afternoon? What's the issue? This year it's different because Yom Kippur Chol is b'Shabbos, but regularly Yom Kippur it's not Chol is b'Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over with a whole gishmak, but the whole thing is in the Rav Henacheges is safer than Marcheshes. Shaila is that on Yontif we don't have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. There are two times in the year when we have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha, that Shabbos afternoon, and on Tainas Sibur you have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. On a Tainus Sibur we have Kriyas HaTorah, three aliyas, and you have a Haftarah, Tiv Shal Shem Behi Matzo. On Shabbos afternoon, the Gemara says also, you have three aliyas, and there is a Haftarah. The Mishnah says in Megillah, on Shabbos afternoon, E Maftirim de Novi. You don't have a Maftir from Nevi'ah. But Tosfos shows from the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin that the practice in the Zman HaGemara was that they had Haftarah from Tehillim. This is Haftarah from Ksuvim, on Shabbos afternoon to Mincha. So the Shaila is, on Yom Kippur we have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha with HaHaftorah. Is that because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, or is that because Yom Kippur happens to be a Taina Sibur? My nafkamina, so one nafkamina is a person who is not fasting. Does it make sense to give him an aliyah? On a Taina Sibur you don't give aliyahs. It's a Kriya of a Taina Sibur. Whoever is not fasting is not observing the Tainas, right or wrong. He's not fasting, he's not observing the Tainas. So if the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur afternoon to Mincha is B'Torah's Tainas Sibur, so you should only give aliyahs to the people who are fasting. But if the Kriyas HaTorah is B'Torah's Shabbos, that Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbos and it's like Shabbos, so this fellow is observing, just like Rabbi Kavega says, he can get an aliyah to Shachris, he should be able to get an aliyah to Mincha as well. So Rabbi Henacheges points out that in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah. The Sfardim follow Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaba, and Ashkenazim follow the Ramah regarding the Bal Maftir to Mincha on Yom Kippur. How does he end off the brachas? On the time of Sibur, you end off Magen David. You don't continue Allah Torah Vavarid Val Yom Atainis Sibur Azeh. You don't say, you end off Magen David. So the Ramah says that the Minig in Poland, and that's the Minig in most places by Ashkenazim, that to Mincha you end off Magen David, because the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur in the afternoon is B'Torah's Tainis Sibur, not B'Torah's Yom Kippur, not B'Torah's Shabbos Yom Kippur. Chabbah says no. You say Magen David, then you say Allah Torah v'Ala Avaydo, V'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, Shenasatana Lenam Mechil V'Leslicha. Then you say Melech Mechem Zolech La V'Nisem V'Nisem V'Yisrael, Mavash Hashem Melech HaKoretz V'Kash Zol V'Yom HaKippurim. You say the whole chasima, so the kriya is not, the Mechabah holds the kriya is HaTorah to Mincha, is not B'Torah's Tainus Sibur, then you wouldn't say Allah Torah v'Ala Avaydo, it's B'Torah's Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos. So the Rav Soloveitchik's practice was he followed all the minhagim from Valozhin, and Valozhin they followed all the minhagim from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon holds like the Mechaba here, that you should say Allah Torah Halavayda. You do say the last bracha. But he says, look, that's his family practice, but he thought that's merely really more correct like the Ramah. He thought that the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur afternoon, this year it's Shabbos, it's B'Torah Shabbos, okay, there's no issue. Even one who had to eat, but he's observing Hilchos Shabbos. But if you have a Yom Kippur, that's Choli is Bechol. So the Rama paskins, and that's the common practice most places, except for those who have the Minhagei Hagra, that you end off Magen David, that the Kriya is Betaris Taina Sibur. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that another two nafkaminas in this. The Nigan. He said the minig is that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Balkar lanes with a very eerie Nigan. And the one who gets the Aliyah says, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevayroch. You don't say the regular, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevayroch. Use a special Nigan. So the Shad is, what about Kriyas HaTorah, Yom Kippur afternoon to Mincha? If it's B'Torah's Taina Sibur, so the Balkar should lay regular trup, and the Ola B'Torah should say the regular Nigan. But if it's B'Torah's Taina Sibur, so the common practice is that you do. Common practice is Balkari lanes the regular trup, and the Ola B'Torah says the regular Nusach, the regular Nigan for the Bruch. So that fits in with the Ramos practice, and you end off Mogen David.
That's the scroll is the
I don't know.
I was there Yom Kippur, I don't remember either.
I was there once Yom Kippur, I don't remember either. I don't know. We should find out. And many places in Eretz they follow Minhagei Hagro. We should talk and find out. I don't know.
Some say if they have such a shayla by Tisha B'Av also.
Right. Some say if it raises a possibility, a strong possibility, that once a chacham were misaken, that you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah on a tiny Sibur, Tisha B'Av or Shavasa B'Tamas, Asar B'Tavis, whatever. So even if you're not fasting, that you need Kriyas HaTorah, so even if you're not fasting, you can still get an aliyah. Yeah, but that, the common practice is not like that, not like the Chasam Sofer. Ne'ilah is a special tefillah that you offer on a Tainus Tzibur. Bizman HaTanoim, it says in the Mishnah in Tainus, whenever the Bezen would be going to Tainus, because it was Atziris Geshamim, there was no rain, so they would daven Ne'ilah. How come we only daven Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur? So we have the mistaken impression that Ne'ilah is a Yom Kippur digger davening. It's not really Mu'yuchud for Yom Kippur. It's because Ein Lona Tainus Tzibur, the Gemara says, Ein Tainus Tzibur B'Bavu Chutz Mitisha B'Avu Yom Kippur. The only two Tanesim in the course of the year that have a real full din of a Tainus Tzibur is Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So that's why we only say Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. How come we don't say on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is a Tainus Tzibur. So Rav Soloveitchik explained the whole idea behind Ne'ilah is explained in the Talmud Yerushalmi in the end of Maseches Tainus. The whole idea of Ne'ilah is it's a ribui tefillah. And the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, you learn that Davos HaKas Batorah, Sharm Avim, Shodosh Bakzulim, the psukim throughout Tanakh, that if you have a tzorech and you offer a prayer to the Rabban Shalom and you repeat the prayer many times, so you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. That's why the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Veschanan al Hashem, he davened to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to cross over the yard and enter Eretz Yisrael." So Rabban Shalom said, "Al tosis dabra alayet badabra azeh." Don't keep on davening. Usually, the more you daven, say, the better your chances are that your prayers will be answered, that the Rabban Shalom is going to give into you. There's a concept of ribui tefillah. By a bus of a dhamma doesn't make sense. You nudge the person so many times, so he's not going to give in. He's going to become harder. But that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom told us. If you offer the same prayer many times, you repeat the same tefillah, stand a better chance of having the tefillah answered. So that's what the ne'ilah is all about. Rav Soloveitchik just gave us an extreme mashal. Let's say a person nishgid daven shachris musaf mincha, just comes in Yom Kippur the ne'ilah, daven zina, he goes home. So he says he's not yotzei ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is a riboy tefillah. After having daven last night Myron and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, then on top of all that you daven Ne'ilah, a fifth tefillah in the same day, so riboy tefillah is an accomplishment. But he didn't daven Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, it just comes in for Ne'ilah. The Ne'ilah is Gonishver. The Ne'ilah is Ishken Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah means a riboy tefillah, an extra additional tefillah. So what is the correct zman for davening Ne'ilah? So you can't daven Ne'ilah early in the day. It says you should only begin to daven Ne'ilah k'shachama b'roshu eilonos, when not before plaga mincha, not an hour and a half before the shkia, not before plaga mincha, has to be late in the afternoon. So when is the correct zman? So in the Gemara there are three different opinions. So one opinion in the Tanaim is, and we should really paskin like this, that you have to finish Ne'ilah by shkia. You have to finish the whole tefillas Ne'ilah by shkia. We don't, by right, we should really follow that opinion, but we don't do that because our minhag is that we blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. And everybody knows, the minute the Baal Tikeh blows shofar, everybody runs and they eat something. So you're gonna finish kneeling before the shkia. You gotta wait. You can't eat during beit hashmashas. So the second opinion, that's the opinion that we follow, is as long as you began kneeling by yom, even though you continue to daven into the night, it's called tfilas yom kippur. We have a psak in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say many people eat on Purim. They eat suvas Purim late in the afternoon. And they don't finish. They don't get to bench till after the shkia. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes. Do you say al anisim or not? When you're benching, it's no longer Purim. It's already after tzeis hakochavim. But the meal began on Purim. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that if the meal began on Shabbos, the meal began on Purim. So that's enough to require it. Say. So the Vilna Goyen says, what's the mocker for that concept? This psak that we follow by Nila. As long as it began to daven Nila by Yom, it's called Tfilos Yom Kippur. It relates to Yom Kippur. So as long as the meal began on Purim, and the meal began on Shabbos Ayantiv, the Haskhali Gobos, the Haskhali to be Kaveh, that it's a Sudas Purim and it's a Sudas Shabbos, so therefore you say it's a.
Purim is another thing that you want
to want
part of the
Shkia
should be on
the Shushan
Purim also.
No, you don't. You don't want this. No. More correct is if you bench before the Shkia.
Yeah.
I always see to it that I bench on Purim. I have boys over. We always rush the meal. And we always finish benching before the Shkia is up. Because...
You have to change the
Right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, it said the Mefarshim say, if it's ready after Shkia, so instead of saying Hayom Yifne, the day will set, he said Hayom Pana. Hayom Pana, right. But that is correct? Yeah, that is correct. So in the Gemara, there are three opinions. What is this month? So one opinion in the Gemara, you can even begin Nila Balayla. In some yeshivas in Beis HaTalmud, they finish Mincha, Doomsday. And then they start Nihla in the middle of the night. They start Nihla already after Tzeis HaKochavim. And then it takes forever to daven Nihla. They start Nihla Balayla. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in the end of Maseches Yuma. Are you obligated to daven Ma'ariv HaMetzoy Yom Kippur? Ma'ariv is always Rishus. Shachar is a Mincha is a Chayva. Ma'ariv is a Rishus. So is one obligated to daven Ma'ariv HaMetzoy Yom Kippur? You got to say Ma'ariv not to say Atachan Antono. That's what the Gemara says. So one opinion of the Gemara is, since theoretically you could have davened Nila Balayla, according to the one Tani, you don't even have to begin. Not only don't you have to finish Nila Bayom, you don't even have to begin Bayom, you can begin davening Nila Balayla. So the Nila that you daven, even if you daven Bayom, you already gave an extra tefillah. So you don't have to daven Myra. The Gemara says, but bottom line, you got to daven Myra, not to say Atachan Antono. That's why. So these are the three opinions in the Gemara. Whether you can even begin davening Nila Balayla, or you have to at least begin by Yom, you should really finish. You should really finish saying the whole Nila by Yom before the Shkia.
When they do many places in Eretz Yisrael, they finish the so they can duchen.
And the Mishnah says that you, in the days of the Tanaim, like by the Svarim today, you duchen by Shachris and by Musaf. And you don't duchen by Ma'ariv. You don't duchen by Mincha. Why don't you duchen by Mincha? Because we're afraid of Shikrus. A coin who drank a little wine, or schnapps, or beer, whatever, is not allowed to duchen. So we don't allow duchening by Mincha because we're afraid maybe the coin had a drink. What if it's Mincha and a tiny stibur? No one's eating, no one's drinking. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. So we pass and it's a loy plug. Since the rest of the year, we don't permit you to duchen by minchas, even on a tiny sibur. Everybody's fasting. We also don't permit you to duchen. But Ne'ilah is a tefillah. There is no lo plug. Ne'ilah is meyuchad davke for tiny sibur. So Ne'ilah you should duchen. Ma'ariv you don't duchen. So the Mishnah says when you daven Ma'ariv you don't duchen. So the Rishonim said the reason why you don't duchen by Ma'ariv is because duchening is considered like avodas hakarbonis, and you don't do avodas hakarbonis balayla. So they all complain about the Minig Frankfurt. The Maharil complains that all over the world, when they daven the Ila, they finished in the middle of the night, and no one duchen because it's already way after the Shkia. The Minig Frankfurt always was that they always did duchen. So they all complain that they're doing wrong. So the Maharil defends the Minig Frankfurt. And the Shagazari also has a Sefer on Maseches Tainus. The last paragraph in the Sefer, he says the same as the Maharil. Apparently he didn't have a Maharil. He comes to defend the Minig Frankfurt. He said, there is no such halacha that you can't be makar of any karbanas balayla. Haktoris emurim is all night long. Nisach hayayin is all night long. You can do nisach hayayin balaylo. Avodas Adam, you can't do. Shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. The avodas Adam of the korban, you can't do balaylo. Or the dalar avodas and the mincha that are parallel to the dalar avodas Adam, parallel to the shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. That you can't do balaylo. But other avodas you can do balaylo. So that's how they defend the minhag Frankfurt, that they duchen balaylo. When the Mishnah says you don't duchen on by Ma'ariv, it's not because Laila you don't duchen, because there's no Chazaras HaShatz by Ma'ariv. That's why. If there would have been Chazaras HaShatz, they would have had duchening by Laila. Unless you're afraid of Shikris again, maybe that's why they're not, because you're just like Mincha, you don't duchen.
You duchen today?
Yeah, duchen by Brei. About then they duchen by Nila. They duchen Shachris and Musaf and Nila, yeah. Mayer Edelstein said, Mayer Edelstein is a Kohen, so he once went with his father, and the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe knew that they were Kohen. So he went to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe after Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe said, "Nu, did you duchen three times yesterday? A galpen cup?" Then he davens in Broyers, and in Broyers they duchen a Shachris and a Musav and Nila. Said, "You duchen three times yesterday? Good, okay." Yeah. And Breuers, they follow all the Minhagim from Frankfurt. So they duch in the middle of the night, yeah. So that's the Ma'aril defends the Minhag. Yeah, the Gemara says at the time they were editing the Talmud Bavli, so Rabbeinu Rav Ashi put in V'ho'idna in Bezman Hazeh, how come we do duchen by Mincha? Then is the Tanoim HaLamachloikas, and we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, like the Tana, that it's a Leutlug. Since you don't allow duchening on a mincha on a regular day because there's a chashash of shikris, so you shouldn't allow duchening by mincha even on a tainas sibur. How come we duchen by mincha on a tainas sibur? So the Gemara says, because the practice used to be in the days of Ravina Abashi, they used to daven mincha very late on a tainas sibur. By us, we do benahapach, we do fakert. All year long, we daven mincha late on a tainas sibur. We always daven at 1:30. We always daven early on a tainas sibur. But Bizmana Gemara is fakert. All year long they daven mincha earlier, and at the time you see, but they daven late in the afternoon, right before the shkia. So the Gemara says that since our practice is we daven mincha so late, different from all year long, so it's like ne'ila. So just like ne'ila, there is no lo plug. Ne'ila is only a tefila that you say on a tainis. So you don't make exer the rabbanon that you're not allowed to duchen by ne'ila. So mincha on a tiny sibur is different from all year long. You don't have to make a leplug because we daven mincha so late, a different zman. It's not the same zman as mincha all year long. So it's like ne'ila that there is no leplug. So that's a shaila in Eretz Yisrael today. What if you daven mincha on a tiny sibur at 1:30? What's the din? Do you duchen? So the Pashto says you don't duchen. The Gemara says, well, because we daven mincha so late, differently from all year long, that's why you duchen by mincha. So they quote, the Chazon Ish writes, in the Sefer, that the Gemara says you duchen by mincha, so even if you daven mincha early, they also duchen. So, and B'nai Brak, they follow the Chazon Ish. Yeah. Even though they daven mincha very early.
Yeah.
Where you were in B'nai Brak or other cities? But most places I think they don't follow the Chazon Ish because it's kemat against the Gemara.
Because he's a Kohen. I told him,
Yeah. Most places they don't follow the Chazon Ish. When I'm in Arizona in the summertime, so they daven mincha early and they don't duchen. In B'nai Brak, they follow the Chazon Ish all the time. So there they duchen on a tiny sibur, even if they're davening mincha early. He said we should follow the Gemara's practice. You should daven mincha late on the tiny sibur. He said it's not right. Yeah. And Ezra says that they were goys of tainis because they were intermarried. The goys of tainis in the days of Ezra. So it says that they daven mincha late in the afternoon. So he said it's not right. And all the yeshivas, that they daven so early. Minig is Yom Kippur, we say Shemus, say Shema Yisrael. We say Hashem Hu Alakim seven times and so on. So usually when you say Shemus, when you're saying Shema Yisrael, it's already Zman of Ma'ariv. So more correct is he's supposed to say Kriya Shema Al Seder HaBrachas. It's not right to say Kriya Shema first and then to say the Birchas Kriya Shema later. And according to the Ramban, Min HaTorah, we have to say Shema Yisrael Shema Ken Hashem Echot. That's the whole Kriya Shema Deraisa. the different opinions. Rashi holds the first parsha is deraisa. Tosfos holds the first two parshas are deraisa. But the Ramban holds only pasuk Rishon is deraisa, the first pasuk. So some of the poskim point out that when they say the Sheamus, when they say Shema Yisrael, everybody should have in mind not to be yotzei. If you're not going to have in mind one way or the other, so then according to the Ramban, you were yotzei kriya Shema deraisa. Shalei al seder habrachas, which is not proper. You're really supposed to recite kriya Shema al seder habrachas. Rav Soloveitchik used to mention every year when he spoke about Yom Kippur, he always used to say over from the Vilna Goy. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanayim whether a sandal, in order to be considered a sandal for the purpose of chalitza and for the purpose of Yom Kippur, you need nilas a sandal. You're not allowed to wear shoes, and one is in avelus or one Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do nilas a sandal. Is the definition of a sandal only if it's made from leather, or as long as it's megan? You have sneakers, or you have Crocs, or you have wooden shoes. That's also megan, but it's not made from leather. So the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the position that only shel or, if it's not made from leather, it's not called a sandal, can't use it for the mitzvah of chalitza, and it's not forbidden to wear on Yom Kippur. This is based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Navi describes the birth of the Jewish nation after Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we began, like a baby is born. So they deliver the baby, and then they wash the baby off, and then they smear the baby with the oil, they powder the baby, they put on a diaper, then when the baby gets a little older, so they put on shoes, put on clothing. So the expression used in the pasuk is "Ve'enolech tochash," I put on nalayim made from or tachash, from leather, from a tachash animal. So the Tana who says that it's only called nal if it's made shel or, made from leather, is based on that pasuk in Yecheskel, "Enolech tochash." So that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. But not all the Rishonim paskin like that. The Balamor paskin is like the other opinion, that sneakers are also good for chalitza. You can fulfill a mitzvah of chalitza by taking off sneakers, by taking off cracks. It doesn't have to be dafka, be a leather shoe. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that there is a big machlekes of Rishonim whether the chamisha inuyim on Yom Kippur are all deraisa. The Gemara says eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, that for sure is deraisa. That's a din deraisa, and one who violates that is chayv kares. So that's a very serious thing. The other chamisha inuyim, not to wear shoes and not to bathe and so on, there's no chorus. So the fact that there's no chorus, does that indicate that it's only the Rabbanan? Because if everything is based on the same posim, inisim asnav shesecham, chamisha inuyim, so it should all be the same. They should all have chorus. So the Rabbi Natam was led to believe that the rest of the inuyim are only mid the Rabbanan, only achila shtiyah is the rice. And the Rambam and other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, all the Chamisha Inuyim are deraisa, and Sinishkin Pella, Achilu Shtiya has Karis, and the other four Inuyim do not have Karis. So the Vilna Goyen, they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that he thought it's Kedai to be Machmir. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over every year. It's Kedai to be Machmir. On Yom Kippur, it could be the Chamisha Inuyim is a Din deraisa. And there are Rishonim and Paskin the other way, that even Crocs and even leather and even sneakers, if it's Megan, if it protects your feet, it's an iser of nilas asandal. So he always used to encourage people that they should wear sneakers without arches. That's the Loshon HaRambam. You have to walk in such a way to be margish koshi ha'oretz. So he says if you have sneakers with arches in them, so you're not margish koshi ha'oretz. If it's flat on the bottom, then you're margish koshi ha'oretz. So that was his Loshon. You should wear without arches on Yom Kippur. In the last perek in Yuma, the first seven prokem, I think, are all about Hakrovas HaKabonis. Perek Shmini, the eighth perek, is all about the Hamisha Inuyim. So in the last perek, you have dedicated Mishnayis and the whole sugya, all the dinam of Pikuach Nefesh. This was from day number one, when the mitzvah of Yom Kippur was given on Maimon HaSinai. There were old people there were sick people that did if they'll fast. There was a suffix that they may become so weak that it'll shorten their lives. Pikuach Nefesh does mean you're going to die on Yom Kippur. If there's a chashash, if there's a svek-sveka that the person may die 5 minutes earlier than otherwise, it's like this, he would live till 120. Like this, he's going to live till 119 and 23 and a half hours. That's also called Pikuach Nefesh. It's ridiculous to say that by fasting you're going to die 5 minutes early, mehecha tesa. So many other things happen in life. we're overweight, we're underweight, we don't exercise, we do exercise, we do some of the other crazy things, eat cholent, to eat the cholesterol, we do some of the other things that are mikasvah. So it's hard to say, but if a doctor would be able to ascertain that by fasting, the person is going to die 5 minutes earlier, the din would say that you have to eat on Yom Kippur. That's called pikuach nefesh. It doesn't mean you're going to die today on Yom Kippur. So the whole sugya pikuach nefesh appears in Maseches Yuma. The Pashto says that this din was given a Har Sinai. There was always a din of pikuach nefesh. Some of the apikursish historians gave a whole interpretation that the din of pikuach nefesh was invented in the days of the Chashmonaim. Because in the book of Maccabees it says that they came up, Yehuda Maccabee came up with a chiddush about waging war on Shabbos, that pikuach nefesh is deich on Shabbos. So the Pashto says that's a different din of pikuach nefesh. That pikuach nefesh, deich Shabbos and deich kol haTorah kula, except for Yehar Gvul Yaver, Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim. That was from Maimon Har Sinai. That was a din. That's the Mishnah in the last Perek in Yuma. There was always a din of pikuach nefesh. Some details in Hilchos Milchama that you're allowed to wage war on Shabbos, even though it's not really no one's life is in danger there. It'll take you a little longer to win the war. So that was Nischabish in the days of the Chashmonai, that you can do Milchamas on Shabbos also. Milchamas in the days of Yeshua was also for Kibush Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara had a tradition to have to surround Yericho every day for 6 days once, and on the seventh day they surrounded Yericho, they went around Yericho 7 times, and the walls came tumbling down. So the Gemara has a tradition that Yericho, the walls of Yericho fell down on Shabbos. They did wage war on Shabbos. Kibush Eretz Yisrael for sure is Deicha Shabbos. For sure is Deicha Shabbos. And other Milchamas, not all Milchamas were accepted that they're all mutter to do on Shabbos. That was in the days of the Chashmonai. They expanded the dinim of Hilchas Milchama because of the Pikuach Nefesh. But the Ikar dinim Pikuach Nefesh, the whole Sugya is in the last Perek in Yuma. It was always like that. That was from day number one. The Gemara there has a discussion. The prohibition to eat or to drink a Yom Kippur, the sheer eating and sheer drinking doesn't correspond to the sheer in Kol HaTorah Kula. Usually when you eat treif for food, you eat possible chalav, you eat chazer, so if you eat a kazayis, you get malchus. Here the sheer is bigger than a kazayis. Here the sheer is kosevis hagasa, more than a kazayis. So the Gemara says, how come the sheer is different? The Gemara says, here it's a din of Yisuvi Daita. Inui, is it called, it's not a shayla, is it called achila? So what is it called? Be'inisa. So inui, it's only called the violation of inui if you eat more than a kazayis. You have to eat a kosevis hagas. And drinking is fakir. Usually in Kol HaTorah Kula, let's say a nozer drinks wine. So there's a machlekes hatanaim, how much wine? And the Mishnah knows how much wine does he have to drink in order to get malchus, a kazayis or a revius. And many tanaim say revius. The Rambam says the shear for drinking treif beverages is always revius, except for Yom Kippur. The shear is smaller than that. Revius is the volume of an egg and a half. And here, the shear is maloy lugmav. One cheek, if you lean your face sideways, the amount that would fill up one cheek, which is less than revius. It's by Odin Beinani, it's a roiv revius. So how come everything is kakait over here? The shear for drinking is less than a revius. Shear for eating is more than a kazayis. So the Gemara says, because it's not a vort of achil ushtia, it's a vort of inisim. The Kimluhu, the Rabbanon, the Chachamim established that it only gives a Yisuvi Dait, it only gives a Yishuv Adas if you have this amount of eating or drinking.
Yeah, and just asking, the Yom Kippur War in 73, where they pulled everybody out of the shul to go and fight, is that Pikuach Nefesh?
For sure it's Pikuach Nefesh.
Not anybody's going to die. You're not sure that people...
Yeah, we're sure they're going to die. If there's a Muhammad, if the enemy starts, that they waited till the enemy started. If you wait till the enemy starts, we're sure they're going to kill. A lot of people were killed in Yom Kippur War. If we would have surrendered, they would have killed all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Why? I bet it was a Suffolk Sakana. That's for sure. A couple of years ago, there was a war in Lebanon in the middle of the summer. In the 9 days. So by mistake, they sent the soldiers fleishig meals. So the soldiers didn't want to eat fleishigs in the 9 days. So the chief rabbi had to scream at them, you have to, by mistake, they sent fleishig meals. They didn't have enough paragon milchig meals. So the chief rabbi insisted that they have to eat the fleishig meals. You have to be healthy. Then they were going to fast on Tisha B'Av. So he prohibited that. You got to be half asleep. You have to be alert if you're fighting a war. So he insists that you have to eat on Tisha B'Av. You have to eat in a milchama. You have to eat in order to be alert, in order to function well. Yeah. My son-in-law was one of the tzaddikim who didn't want to eat the fleshig meals. I also, he spoke to me on the phone. So I said, what, are you crazy? Of course you eat the fleshig meals. So the dinim of pikuach nefesh are discussed over there. What's the din if you eat less than the shir? So that's a machlekes in the beginning of the last perek in Yuma. Well, a chatzis shir osim in a Torah, or it's only an isa de rabbana. We pass like Rabbi Yechanan, a chatzis shir is an isa de raisa. So chatzis shir is an isa de raisa. How come we know that a lot of times the rabbana would tell a person who has to eat, eat less than the shir. Now, wait 5, wait 10 minutes, eat another less than the shir, wait 10 minutes. What kind of business is that? Chatzis shir is osim in a Torah anyway. So what do you gain by eating chatzishir and waiting a little bit? So the answer is, the Gemara has a whole sugya there in the last parak in Yomer. When a person, in order to save his life, has to eat non-kosher food. Let's say, Rahmana Letzlan, the Jews were in concentration camps. They gave him tray for food to eat. So some of the Rabbanim held that it's Yahar Glayah, but some of the Rabbanim held there was a big machlekes whether the Nazis were fighting, they wanted to kill the Jewish race, or Hitler was fighting against the God of the Jewish people. So most of the Rabbanim held that he just wants to kill the Jews, it's not a religious war. After the war was all over, Acharei Kechlos HaKol, they dug up the records from the Reichstag, so they listened, there was a speech that Hitler gave, it's a battle against the Jewish religion, against the God of the Jewish people. That was the minority opinion in the middle of the war. So those Rabbanim who felt like that, it's a war against the Jewish religion, so everything is a Harig V'Yavar. You're not allowed to eat the tray for food that they give you in the concentration camp. So everyone would have died. It wasn't Shaykh. They served in the tray for food. Everyone would have died then. The mazel was that they didn't know that at the time. They thought it's just they want to kill the Jews, but they didn't think because it was Havir al-Hadas. They didn't think that it was a religious war. So that's why they ate the tray for food. So the Gemara says if a person has to eat tray for food, he has a choice. He can either eat nevela, or he can eat, let's say, tevel. Whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mafresh shem as ma'aseh, it's tevel. So which should he eat, nevela or tevel? The Gemara says, tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. Nevela is only malka. So it's better, ma'achila mosa ha'kal ha'kal t'chila. You violate the lesser of the two evils. Whenever you're faced with the dilemma means all the alternatives are no good. Everything is awesome. You have to be Bercha b'mir tarah. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So the Gemara has a whole sugya. How do you decide which is the lesser of the two evils? So the Gemara says, let's say, you can either eat chelev to save your life, or you can eat tevel. Chelev is karis, and tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. So isa karis is mochomer than misa b'dei shamayim. And misa b'dei shamayim is mochomer than nevela and basa b'cholav. Nevela and basa b'cholav is only malchus, and misa tevel is misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you determine what's hakala kal tchila? So the din is that if a chatzis shir is asim an ater, if a person eats on Yom Kippur less than a shir, it's an aver derais, but there's no kares. There's only kares if you eat a full shir. So if a person is not, let's say an older person is not deathly sick, we're just afraid he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, he won't have kareich, he barely has any kareich to walk. So he's going to fast, this can weaken him and he can die earlier than otherwise. And then we tell him he has to eat. So why should you tell him he should eat a whole shir? Tell him to eat pachas make a shir. It's machila masa akal akal tchila. If you only eat a chatzis shir and you wait 10 minutes, eat another chatzis shir, so that's less of an aver than eating a full shir bevasachas. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and he printed this in the hesped that he wrote about his father. He wrote a hesped about his father, Isha Halacha. People didn't realize he wrote in the introduction to the Isha Halacha, he says, "Dmus liyukna shalav ibniru salo b'chalon." So people were wondering, that was when Yosef was going to sin with Eshes Potipharah, so he was about to sin, then there was no one else there, then it says, "Dmus liyukna," he visualized it, he saw his father Yaakov Avinu, and he didn't do the sin. So some of the big philosophers were wondering, what sin was Rabbi Soloveitchik about to commit, that he had to think of his father? No, he just meant, I'm giving a description of my father. This was the hesped that he delivered when his father died. So So he wrote a long, he wrote much longer than he delivered, but this is basically what he said in the Hesped. And a lot of it was repeated. When his uncle Rav Elvela died, a big chunk of that Hesped, that's Ish Halacha, he said about his uncle, it was very similar to his father. So people had complaints. They didn't realize that this was Rabbi Soloveitchik was describing his father. So some there's a conservative rabbi who knows how to learn a little bit. He asked smicha from Rabbi Hirschsprung, I think. He was brought up in Montreal. So this conservative rabbi wrote a whole review of Rabbi Soloveitchik's book. What do you mean, Rabbi Soloveitchik? Ish halacha. But Rabbi Soloveitchik doesn't lead his life like that. He doesn't. This was a description of his father. It's not a description of himself. He said once that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was a rov in a Lubavitcher community, a Lubavitcher village in Europe. So once the Baal Tekeh was crying right before Tekeh Shofar, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, "What are you crying about? Do you cry before you eat the matzah? What are you crying now?" Rav Soloveitchik did cry before he heard Tekeh Shofar. There is what to cry. His father didn't cry. He gave a description of his father. That's not a description of him. Rav Soloveitchik was not the Ish Halacha. He felt that his father was an Ish Halacha. Truk in the Halacha. So Rav Soloveitchik has there, his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, had a chiddush about a chayla eating on Yom Kippur. And Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, the son, the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim, also has in his sefer and Ram, has his father's chiddush. His father gave a psak that when do you tell the people that they should eat pachas mikashir, they should eat less than a shear and wait 10 minutes, then less than a shear and wait 10 minutes. That's only if the person is basically healthy, but you're afraid if he's gonna fast, he's gonna get sick. What if the person is deathly sick, the person has cancer, and he's having chemotherapy treatments, and they say he has to eat? So if he's a chela mesukan already, and you're trying to save his life, so then the Magen Mishnah says you do kol tzorachov. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said what it means is, you tell him he eats regular meals on Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to eat pachas mekishir. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say this was his grandfather's chiddush, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Elvela writes that was his father's chiddush, and those who disagreed with him, it was his father's chiddush. Rav Kook used to say it over all the time. Rav Kook was not a fan of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. When he learned the Malozhin, there were two Rosh Yeshiva. There was the Netziv, who had the old derech. There was Rav Chaim, had this newfangled derech alimut. So Rav Kook was from those who only went to the Netziv Shurim. He didn't go for Rav Chaim Shurim. But this he said, the Netziv said this. The Netziv has it in his Sefer. When the Netziv came to learn the Balozhin before his Bar Mitzvah, he was a little boy. So the Nachlas David was still alive. Nachlas David is a Sefer on Baba Kama and Baba Metzia. It was written by Talmud of Rav Chaim Balozhin, who was invited to come back to the Yeshiva to give Shurim during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Balozhin. So the Netziv writes in his Sefer on the Shiltas, when I was in the Yeshiva, the Nachlas David was still alive, and he told us this was the Psak HaMekubal in Volozhin from the days of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. This was from the days of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and Rav Kook used to say it over all the time. If the person already is a Chela Mesukan, and you're treating him to save his life, you let him eat Kol Tzorachov. It's Beferish in the Mishnah Brura also, but people skip that line because they don't know what it means. So they think that everybody has to eat pachas mikashir, but that's not true. That's not true. That's Rav Chaim insisted you should follow what it says in the Mishnah Brura. If the person already is a chayla mesukan, and he's trying to save his life, to pull him out of the sakana, so you tell him to eat regular meals. Same thing on Shabbos. If a person already is a chayla mesukan, and they're trying to save his life, so you do kol tzarachov. You don't just do that part of the surgery that's crucial to save his life. You do everything. You stitch him up, and you do many more malachas, even the things that are clearly not going to save his life. You do kol tzarachov. That's the psak of the Magen Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it like that. So it's interesting that all of these dinim of pikuach nefesh, everything appears there in the last parak in Yuma. The dinim all began over there. It's interesting, the Ramah quotes from the Marivayel. Why do we say Yom HaKippurim in the plural? Today everybody calls it Yom Kippur in the singular. But in Chumash it's always called Yom HaKippurim in the plural. So the Ramah quotes in the Marivayel, it's a double kapara, kapara l'chayim and kapara l'mesim. Even the dead people also get a kapara. What do the dead people need a kapara? They're already dead many years. The Gemara talks about a kapara l'mesim. When you find someone murdered in Eretz Yisrael, no da mihiko, you have to measure the modadol svivas ha'arem svivas ha'chol, you have to measure to the cities that are in the neighborhood, and the city that's when you establish which city is the closest, you have to bring an egla rufa. And then the kohanim from the city that had to bring the egla rufa, they say they offer a prayer kapa le'ancho yisol shepadis ha'ashem. It should be a kapara on the Jewish people. Asher Padisa Hashem. Who's Asher Padisa? That's the Yotze Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, "We kaparas who should tekapar al Yotze Mitzrayim." The Egla Rufa is not only mechapar on the people who are alive today in this city, mechapar on all of Klal Yisrael, even the Yotze Mitzrayim. So the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch ask Akasha, we have a klal in kapara la mesim. There's never any kapara for the people who are dead. Kapara is only for living people. Tosis even has, Tosis says it's basically a Gemara. You don't even need the Tosis, but everybody, the Gemara is at the end of Bava Kama. Nobody gets that far. The Tosis is Mem Gimel or something like that in Bava Kama. So Tosis says, let's say, Maishar killed an Adam, Maishar Amud killed an Adam, and I have to pay Koif, and then I die before I get to pay it. So the Mayorshim have to pay. So Tosis says, Ain Kapara la Mason. Since Kufr Kapara, since paying the Koif, Bishor Amud kills an Adam, so payment of kofar is a kapara, and dead people never get any kapara, so you don't accomplish anything. By Yoshim do not have to pay the kofar. If I made a hezek during my lifetime and I died, so nishtab do hanachosim, so the nizik has a right to collect. If I stole and I never gave it back, so the nigzal has a right to collect from the Yoshim, because I left over nachosim mishabadim. But if my Sharmud kills an Adam, it does make sense to collect the Kaifa Lachamisa because ain't Kapara Lamesim. All of a sudden over here, by Egla Rufa you have Kapara Lamesim, and you have by Yom Kippurim, you have in the plural, Yom Kippurim Kapara Lamesim. And it says the same by Ir Ari Miklot. If a person killed Bishagig, he has to go to the Ari Miklot, Almos HaKohen HaGadol. What happens if the person dies before the Kohen Gadol? The one who entered the Horik B'Shogeg dies in the Ari Miklot, so you're not allowed to bury him the Kibbutz HaBaisav in the family plot. You have to bury him in a separate Beis HaKvaros over there in the Ari Miklot. And if 10 years later the Kohen Gadol dies, so then the one who died 10 years ago gets his kapara now. Achidish did, Misas Kohen Gadol is Mechaper, and now you can take him out, you can exhume him from his grave and bury him the Kibbutz HaBaisav. So the Achrenim is Kakasha, ain't Kapara la Mesim. How come Mises Kohen Gadol is Mechaper? But the guy's already dead and buried, 10 years already. So how do you have Kapara la Mesim? So the Marsham has a Chibra and Choshe Mishpat. He asked all these three Kashas, how do you have Kapara la Mesim on Yom Kippur? How do you have Kapara la Mesim by Yegla Rufa, Kapa Le'am Chesol Shepadis Hashem? It's Mechaper on the Yotze Mitzrayim. How do you have Kapara la Mesim on the Horeg B'Shoigeg? So he said there's a difference between kaparas hayochid and kaparas harabim, kaparas hatzibur. If there's a kaparah for a yochid, let's say bring in a korban chatos. So if I was mechal shabbos b'shege, and I have to bring a mafresh a korban and I die, so a chatos shemesim by now, you're not makar v'anim zbech, because ain't kaparah lamesim. My shor mod killed in odom. So I have to pay kaifra because I need a kaparah, an individual person. So we say there's no kaparah lamesim. But if there's a kapara to a whole group of people, some of them are alive, some of them are dead. So agav, that it's mechaper for the living people, it's mechaper for the dead people as well. So Yom Kippurim is mechaper for the whole Klal Yisrael. So agav, that it's mechaper for living people, it's mechaper for dead people also. Same thing, Degla Rufa is a kapara satzibur. The same thing, Mises Kohen Gadol is not only mechaper on one person, mechaper on all the Horging B'Shoikik. He's not the only one who killed B'Shoikik. Mechaper on everybody. So that's what we assume, that Yom Kippurim is Mechaper, even on the Mason. The Mason also need a Kapar. The Gemara has a strange Machloikas Atarai, whether Yom Kippur is Mechaper if the person didn't do tshuva. So it's a Machloikas Atarai, and it's Machloikas Rishonim had a Paskan. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph and Ilchas Tshuva assumes La Halacha that Yom Kippur is only Mechaper if he did tshuva. There's never any kapara without tshuva. Let's say a person gets malchus, so the Rambam says he should say vidui. If he doesn't say vidui, he doesn't do tshuva, then the malchus will not be mechaper for him. When a person gets a death penalty, so the Mishnah says he better say vidui. If he doesn't say vidui, doesn't do tshuva, the misa will not be mechaper. When you bring a korban chatos, Korban Hashem to the Beis HaMikdash, you're dead to say vidui. If you don't say vidui, it's not mechapa. So he says the same thing. When a person dies, the person should say vidui before he dies. The time he says the kapar al kalav anoisai. And the same thing Yom Kippur. If you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur is not mechapa. Never any kapar with that. And some goyim paskin like the other Tana. There are goyim who paskin like the Tana that Yom Kippur is mechapa afilu b'lo yosa tshuva. So it's a very strange machlokes. What do you mean? We're arguing halacha lemaisa what the din is. It's up to us to decide whether Yom Kippur is mechapa. Yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes, the Bezen Shamayla. You have a machlokes hatanaim. If it's nageh lehalacha, what should I do tomorrow? Should I do this? How do I bench? How do I shake a lulav? How do I wear tefillin? How do I daven? So chat to have a machlokes. How do you proceed? How do you act? But what do you mean the machlokes whether Yom Kippur is mechapa? We're the balavatim to pasken on that. How is this shaykh to have a machlekes hatanaim with a Yom Kippur? Then a machlekes of Rishonim had a paskin. Machlekes the Rambam and the Goinim. So I was bothered with that kasha for many years, and then I realized it's a beferish mishnah in the end of Krisis. The mishnah says that if a person has a suffix, whether he ate chalef or whether he's mechal Shabbos, so sometimes he brings an Hashem Tolui. Whenever you know for sure you did an aver, you bring a chatos. So if you're not sure, you bring an Hashem Tolui. So the Mishnah has a quirk of a din. If her person is mechuyev Hashem Tolui, but overall of Yom Kippurim, so Yom Kippur is mechaper, he doesn't bring the Hashem Tolui after Yom Kippur. You only bring an Hashem Tolui up until Yom Kippur. Once Yom Kippur comes, then Yom Kippur is mechaper, so you don't have to bring the Hashem Tolui. So this is a machlekes in Tanoim halacha lemaisa for us in Bezen Shalmata. The person ate the suffik chalev suffik shuma, and Yom Kippur passed by, and he never said vidui. He never felt bad about it. He never did tshuva on Yom Kippur. So one Tana holds Yom Kippur is mechaper achal pisha lo yosa tshuva, and Allah Almighty, he doesn't bring the Hashem Tolui after Yom Kippur is over. And the Rambam paskins, he does bring the Hashem Tolui, because Yom Kippur is only mechaper if you did tshuva. So it's a machlekes Allah Almighty for us, whether we bring the Hashem Tolui or not. It's not an abstract machlekes that will ask the Bezen Shalmaila, ask the Ribbono Shel Olam in person whether Yom Kippur is mechaper. It's a machlekes that nageh ledina. If Yom Kippur is mechaper, then you don't bring the Hashem Tolui. So it's a machlekes halacha lemaisa. Yuma is a very fascinating besichta. Rav Soloveitchik, when he first came to America, he was invited to give a shiur by the Agudas Rabbanim. So he gave a shiur on Yuma. He was very much into Maseches Yuma. He said if they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, he'd be able to close his eyes and tell the Kohen Gadol step by step how to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Every year he used to give a shiur on Avodas Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Lichtenstein, Zochan L'Rachem, put out a sefer. He wrote over Bikitza what Rav Soloveitchik said. It's a very beautiful mesichta. The Gemara says you have to say, the Chazan has to say the Seder HaVodah in the Chazaras HaShad. So we have the practice, we only say it in Musaf. And Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from the Oitzer HaGoinim that there were communities in Bavel where they said the Seder HaVodah, Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. Three times they said that. What, it took forever? Because they didn't say as many slichas as we say. He said they say the Aveda three times on Yom Kippur. They loved it so much. After the Churban Abayis, all the Tanoim who have different opinions about Hakrovas, they all lived after the Churban Abayis. And they're all trying to reconstruct how were they Makar Kabbanas. What was the Seder Aveda? The Yirats and all of our Tefillah should be accepted. We should all pray for Agmachsi Mateva. And
which
Avodah
did he say?
He said he would have wanted to say the Nusach Svard, which is more correct than the Nusach Ashkenaz. But he says Farfan, he's an Ashkenazi. So he has to say the Nusach Ashkenaz. Agut Yor. Amen. Are we having a shiur next week? I don't know, do you think people are here?
A lot of people are. The next shiur will be after Sukkot.